always be clear where you get your conservative talk.
The St. Louis Business Journal is now reporting that liberal billionaire George Soros is the largest shareholder of Odyssey,
the parent company of KMOX and 97.1 Talk.
Soros' maneuver raises critical questions about the future of media ownership and influence.
Money and attention is power. And when he has the money and he controls what's on the radio stations, he's going to be able to control the minds, essentially hundreds of millions of Americans.
St. Louis's trusted source and number one.
For conservative talk.
This is News Talk STL.
For podcast articles and more, find us on newstalkstl.com.
Young black kids growing up in the Bronx who don't even know what the word computer is. They don't know. They don't know these things. And I want the world open up to all of them, because when you have their diverse voices innovating solutions through technology, then you're really addressing society's broader challenges.
5:07 on the Tim Jones and Chris Arp show. That is Governor Kathy Hochul of New York claiming that inner city black kids don't know what a computer is. Now, they may not have a computer, but Joey, Timmy, Tim, I think that the black kids in the inner city know what the word computer is. Would you say that, even though you are not of African-American extraction, would you go on a limb and say that?
Well, Chris, us hillbillies were told, what, a year or two ago by Kamala Harris, that we didn't know what Kinko's was and we didn't know how to copy things. So I guess this is just one of many in a long line of criticisms of anybody who's not part of the D.C. elite.
And I tell you what, Tim, if black kids in the inner city in New York do not know what the word computer is, then I'd say that is an indictment on the school system and an indictment of the NEA and the ATF and what other teachers union that have held those kid hostages in those bad schools. That's an indictment on them, but we'll never hear from that angle, though.
No, we will not. There's never any personal responsibility on the part of the left, is there? It's always got to be someone else's fault. And it's usually the fault of a Republican or a conservative or somebody on the center right side of the political spectrum, or we haven't thrown enough money at it or something of that sort. It's never the fault of the people who have put these policies in place. You know, why is the city of St. Louis's current travails not the fault of the Democratic Party, which has run it into the ground for the past 80 years, those commercials on News Talk STL all the time, 80 years of Democratic rule, but yet all of the unrest, the crime, the education system, the loss of jobs, the Fortune 500 companies that moved out. Chris, none of that is their fault. It's because we have Second Amendment rights here in the state of Missouri, courtesy of Republicans.
Tim, that is a great segue into what I was just about to talk to. I was going to talk about my wife and I were at an event a couple of weeks ago. We had a chance to go to the St. Louis City Park, meet the coach, meet one of the star players. And it was one of her computer sim event, they call it sim. And there was a guy, he's an Asian gentleman, I forgot his name, but he runs St. Louis City Cable, big time liberal and everything. And I think I had my News Talk STL t-shirt on. So of course that always brings questions, and he found out that I was conservative. And so he started railing on all the liberal talking points that, you know, Republicans don't spend enough money, Republicans this, Republican that. And I said, how many people how many Republicans in the state Senate represent St. Louis City? None. How many Republicans in the city represent the city in the state house? None. How many Republicans are on the board of aldermen? Well, none. How many Republicans are on the school board? None. You know, it's round and round and round. And I almost felt sorry for him, Tim, because he was just agreeing with me. You know how they do when they don't have any points. The liberals do. Mm-hmm. So they like agree with you, but still, somehow it's the Republicans' fault. It was just amazing just to see that. It's like, how are you blaming Republicans? How are you blaming, them? When you had complete control. I even said, you know, gave what we were saying, that there hasn't been a Republican mayor in St. Louis in 80 years. What's going on in the city of St. Louis Republicans' fault?
And Chris, they don't want to even talk about solutions. I'll give you a perfect example from today. When I walked into the Capitol building today, I found out that there was a large criminal justice and reform bill on the Senate floor, brought to the floor, I believe, by Senator Tony Lukedemeyer from the western side of the state, our own Nick Schroeder. The reason Nick hasn't been able to jump in and join us today is he's been down on the floor the entire time I've been here working on this crime bill, and he was proposing some solutions with the police issue, right? We are down hundreds of police officers in the city of St. Louis, and so he was, look, they're not going to get they're probably not going to get the state control bill across the finish line this year, but so he was providing a compromise where the mayor would get some appointments to the board, the police department would get some appointments to the board, and the board of aldermen. So that was kind of the compromise position. The senators from the city, they don't even want to talk about it. They literally don't. They basically tell Nick Schroeder, keep your hands off our police. Whoa, wait a minute. When did they become your police? These are the St. Louis. These are the city of St. Louis police. You represent a faction of constituents, and it affects our whole region. Chris, they don't even want to have these discussions. And guess who was working on this compromise? Democrat Jane Duker, who represents one of the police unions, I believe, and Republican Nick Schroeder. Two people from opposite sides of the political spectrum are offering a compromise. And one of the senators from the city, I forget which one it was. Was it, it might have been, I don't want to get the name wrong. It was one of the female senators from the city. She was having none of it. She didn't want to talk about it. She basically said, this is none of your business. It's everybody's business. Yeah. They are state senators. This is a problem that's affecting the whole state. So Chris, they know that there's problems, but they don't want to talk about solutions. It's almost as if they want the problem to continue so they can just blame everybody else for it.
Yeah, Tim, here's a clip from KTVI that just shows how St. Louis has just become or is becoming the wild, wild west.
Thieves apparently climb utility poles and steal phone lines.
St. Louis police report at least 5 cases in just the past 10 days. A city worker tells me it's worse than that. He's seeing this everywhere he goes. Insulation from telephone lines. Look up here. You can see where thieves cut it. They're stealing the copper that's inside.
Police arrested two suspects for damage to critical infrastructure, knowingly burning and stealing. Thieves allegedly cut the black wire casings, then burn away the multicolored insulation from the ultra-fine copper wires, which they sell for scrap. AT&T is actively working with police to find the people responsible.
Now, with a police force that's already 200 or 300 officers down, and we're seeing constantly car crashes and murders and rapes and mayhem in the city of St. Louis, what resources do they have to try to stop something like this?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
none.
Little to none. Little to none. You know, I mean, if St. Louis continues to be hollowed out, and that's a really good word for it, because you don't have to go back too far. Just talk to your parents, right? Talk to your parents. For those of you who are a lot younger, talk to your grandparents, and they'll tell you that the city of St. Louis, when they were growing up, was one of the most vibrant cities, not in our region, but in our nation. I mean, they used to make movies about the greatness of St. Louis. You ever heard of Meet Me in St. Louis? Mm-hmm. I mean, St. Louis was the shining gem of the Midwest. And now it's a shell of its former self. We were approaching 1 million people, 1 million residents within the city limits of the city of St. Louis back in the 40s and 50s. Ever since then, the population has gone one way. It's moved out. We are now smaller. The city of St. Louis is now smaller than the city of Wichita, Kansas. Let that sink in. Under 300,000 people. So this is not just a situation where we should just leave the mayor and the prosecutor and the police chief and the state senators from that. We can't just let them fix it on their own, because they obviously need help, and they need help from the region. And the region and the state should help them, because as the city of St. Louis goes, so goes the rest of the Show Me State.
And another throwback to St. Louis's glory years, Tim, talking about movies about St. Louis. I remember reading this book in high school, playwright Tennessee Williams' play, The Glass Menagerie, talking about Forest Park and St. Louis mm-hmm. and a lot of the monuments. Now St. Louis is just a shell of itself. It is 5:16 coming up. Right now, we have the speaker's stump speech, and at 5:24, we'll speak with Randy Tobler, host of The Randy Tobler Show. Let's have the speaker's stump speech.
Listen to me.
I'm very consistent. I'm a very stable genius.
It's time for the Speaker's Stump Speech, sponsored by Hanson's Tree Service at hansonstree.com.
Title of today's stump speech, the latest saga from the swamp. Yes, I am in Senator Nick Schroer's office. We affectionately call this Studio Schroer up here in Jefferson City, Missouri. I want to thank Nick for providing his office. I mean, senators are very busy people. They have meetings from dawn to dusk every day. Thankfully, he's on the floor today, so I'm not bugging him too much. But I want to thank Nick Schroer for allowing us to broadcast here live every week that I've been up in the Capitol. It's been really cool, I think, to bring you all inside the belly of the beast. And we've had a ton of guests that have rotated through the office. We may have a few tomorrow. Like I said, they're a little busy today. The Senate is in session. So what's the update? Many of you are interested in many of the things that we've been talking about. How do we know that? Well, you hit us up all the time on our Facebook channels and our Twitter feeds, on Rumble, and so on and so forth. And you're asking, what's the status of this? What's the status of that? So here is the action report as we are entering the home stretch of the 2024 Missouri General Assembly's regular session. I say regular session because we could have a special session. That's not determined yet, but we could on the budget and maybe some other things. What has been done? You know what, folks? For a session that was supposed to be a complete and utter waste of time and be completely disappointing, excuse me, there are some major items that are already sitting on Governor Mike Parson's desk. He hasn't signed them yet. I don't know why. I don't know what he's waiting for. But these are priorities of the Missouri Republican Party, of you, of all of you, of all of you conservative grassroots activists, you Republican Party voters, which represent a supermajority of our state. You're very interested and concerned in these things. The defund Planned Parenthood bill, something worked on for years up here to make sure that Medicaid, your state Medicaid dollars, do not go to fund abortions. That is sitting on Governor Parson's desk. It has to be vetoed or signed by this Friday. We're hoping that the governor puts his John Hancock on there and it becomes the law of the land. School choice often, and it was this year, a bipartisan bill. And you know, I got to give a shout out. There were three Democrats that crossed party lines in the House. One of them was our very own Representative Steve. I say ours because he's one of the few Democrats that has come on News Talk STL many times over the last few years. Representative Steve Butts, he voted for the school choice bill along with 81 other people in the House. You know, over 30 Republicans voted against school choice, which I understand. That's part of the platform. Every president from Ronald Reagan to Donald Trump has stood for school choice. Many people on the right and the left know that when you put the power in the hands of the parents, the kids often have better outcomes. Our public schools are failing us. They are dens of iniquity and communist Marxist leftism. And so why won't we give parents the opportunity to use their tax dollars? Or in the case of this proposal, which was an expansion of ESAs, that comes from private dollars. Why can't private dollars give parents a choice? And then those private, the folks who give to those private funds, they get a tax credit back for that. Everybody wins. School choice is sitting on Governor Parson's desk. Both of those bills got finished. There was a big bill on the western side of the state talking about a landfill problem. That's been kind of an albatross around the General Assembly's neck for the last few years. It got passed. It has been signed into law by the governor. Now, what's left to do? In the Senate, we have the initiative petition reform bill. It needs one vote to pass. It was sent back to the Senate from the House over a week ago. I don't know why Senators Cindy O'Loughlin and bill handler Mary Elizabeth Coleman have not brought this up for a final vote. I'm not sure what they're waiting for. I'm not sure why they're stalling. I would urge everyone to call their offices. You can go to senate.mo.gov. You can find their email addresses and their phone numbers. Ask them why we haven't gone to SJR 74. One more vote, and that proposal goes to the people. It will prohibit non-citizens from voting on our constitutional amendments. It will make sure there's no foreign interference in our elections, and it will make sure that Missouri's constitution is protected from the abortionists, the gun grabbers, and the out-of-state left-wing billionaires who have been using our constitution as their personal playground for the last few years. That's how they did Medicaid expansion. That's how they put marijuana into our constitution. That's how they've increased minimum wage. They got the abortion IP coming. They'll come for our Second Amendment rights next year. They're circumventing the legislature and using this out-of-control system, which was never meant to be utilized in this way. One vote to go. Then they will likely do the state budget, $50 billion. Actually, the governor proposed $52 billion. The House cut $2 billion out of that, thank goodness. And that's going to be up for consideration. In the House, last but not least, my old House, the House has an opportunity to prevent ranked choice voting. Senator Ben Brown, who we frequently had on our program, This is his proposal. It made it all the way through the Senate. It's made it all the way through the House up until the point where it needs to be put on the House floor calendar. The Speaker of the House, Dean Plocker, has said he wants to get this done. It'll be up to John Patterson, the floor leader, to bring it finally up. But that bill has plenty of time to get across the finish line. Once again, that will go to the voters to approve and to make sure that we do not have ranked choice voting in the state of Missouri. So for a session that was supposed to be little of nothing, there's a lot to love about what's already happened. And if all of those items that I mentioned can get across the finish line, this will be one of the most successful sessions we've had in many years. The conservatives, I believe, are the driving force behind this. Whether they were part of the Missouri Freedom Caucus or not, a lot of the movement conservatives came to the fore this year, pushed really hard on these proposals, and demanded that leadership finally start passing Republican priorities. Finally, folks, when you go to the polls this August, don't just vote for any old Republican whose name you may or may not recognize. Do your research and make sure you vote for the right Republicans that will continue to advance these conservative priorities that will help Missouri keep pace with Iowa and Nebraska and Arkansas and, yes, even the big kahunas of Texas and Florida and Tennessee. That's the reason, that's the way that we will make Missouri a better place to live, work, and raise a family. There's the saga from the swamp, and that's your Speaker Stump Speech for today.
And the last day of session is, Tim, and the time that the session is adjourned?
Next Friday, May 17th, the big ball drops, Chris, the gavels come down at 6 p.m. on May 17th.
Excellent. 5:22 on the Tim Jones and Chris Arms Net. Up next is Dr. Randy Tobler. We'll talk to him about COVID, the big news today that Donald Trump's Mar-a-Lago documents case has been postponed indefinitely. A lot coming up on the Tim Jones and Chris Arp Show. Number one for live and local conservative talk. That is not 101.9 94.1 News Talk STL.
For podcasts, articles, and more, find us on NewstalkSTL.com.
Sends this really strong message to everyone in America that they can come to this program, they can bring their authentic self, they can be who they are, and they will be welcomed here. The argument that I make with the people that say, well, I always like Boy Scouts of America or BSA, why do we have to change? Go, you know, membership is at historic lows, right? Part of my job is to reduce all the barriers I possibly can for people to accept us as an organization and to join.
5:28 on the Tim Jones and Chris Sarb Show. Tim, were you a Boy Scout?
I was. I was mainly a Cub Scout. I was a, okay. I was a very proud Weeblo, I think they used to call him. Like a Weeble Wobble. I was Weeblo. And then I did Boy Scouts for 1 year, and then my troop wasn't really very well organized, so I kind of let it go. I wish I hadn't. I wish I'd gone all the way.
Joy, were you a Boy Scout?
Yeah, I went the whole way, and WeBlow stands for Will Be Loyal Scouts.
Ah, okay. You know, I bet you. You know what? I bet you our next guest was a Boy Scout.
Gentlemen, we're about to enter the fascinating sphere of police work, the world of forensic medicine.
Truly, you have a dizzying intellect.
Randy Tobler, Truth Warrior, Woke Destroyer.
Dr. Tobler, if I had to go out on a limb, I'd say that you were a Boy Scout in your youth. Your thoughts on the Boy Scout changing their name to Scouting America and allowing all genders?
I don't know what to say. I thought we were getting over the woke nonsense. You know, MIT did away with their DEI program, I heard, because it doesn't work. Or was it Harvard? I think Harvard. And I mean, I was so excited that maybe we've turned the corner. And then this. I don't know. And ahead of all the big campouts that are going to happen traditionally during this time, you know? I don't get what's happening here. Maybe there's more to the story that can make some sense of it. But Boy Scouts, Girl Scouts, they had different... Oh, you know, boys are from Mars and girls are from Venus, and we know all that. They're just different things. Mm-hmm. I don't understand how the mixture is going to work here.
We'll have binary scouts next.
Oh, please. Oh, I don't know. I mean, I don't know. Maybe in Ireland it works well where the boys wear kilts. I don't know. Mm. Maybe that would work out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Dr. Tolbert, this all Yeah, Doc, it all comes from the fact that our education system, or the lack thereof, seems to be the root of all of these problems, right? A lot of this wokeism and political correctness seems to have emanated, first of all, on the higher ed level, and it's filtered down definitely in K through 12. You know, we got all these social, we have all these social engineers in our schooling system now instead of educators. They're just educrats. And you've got to be beside yourself. I mean, I know you went to some very fine institutions all the way through medical school, you know, back in the day when people worried more about reading, writing, and arithmetic and how to properly care for a patient instead of whether, you know, what skin tone the physician was and whether we're elevating enough people and checking enough boxes. And now it's just devolved into outright leftist, Marxist, anti-Semitic protests. I mean, what has happened to our education system?
Well, you know, what I think's happened is, in the name of, I mean, I think you guys both grew up, and so did I, in a culture where I don't care what the person sitting in the desk next to me, I don't care what their race was, their gender, they were either talented or they weren't, you know, and I enjoyed working with them on a group project, or I didn't, because we would be more likely to be successful if they were bright, curious, conscientious students, right? And it frankly didn't matter. But by injecting these requirements for admissions into certain groups or hiring or, you know, in the justice of the Supreme Court, you know, it suddenly injects these immutable characteristics that have become exclusionary rather than of a large swath of otherwise qualified people rather than inclusive. And, you know, it just seems to me like an alternate universe. And the kids are learning now that there's really no difference. And I think that's frankly going to probably lead to a lot of disrespectful behavior from gentlemen towards women. You know, why anymore? I heard the other day there was some flap over a couple of gals that were upset because of some county commissioner or city councilor man who was caught on a Zoom, you know, his mic wasn't on mute, and he used the word that rhymes with witch, you know? And I looked at one another and we said, wait a minute. Why are these women having any hearing when they're getting all upset over it? Now, they should be upset over it because one human being should never call another human being a name like that. You know, there's better ways to refer to people. But nonetheless, why do they want to be carved out as something more special, more pristine? That's the way guys talk about other guys at the bar. You know how those talks go. And so now if we're all equal, there's no difference, then I think all of the special carve-outs should go away. And maybe in sort of a cynical, in-your-face, passive-aggressive way, maybe conservatives should say, you know what? Title IX probably should go away. There is no difference. Now, of course, we would be making a rhetorical statement by saying that. But I think if you think about it, why should there be a difference? We're teaching children that there are no differences, but yet, well, there sort of are when it's special and there needs to be a difference. It's so absurd. It's so lunatic minded that I can't wrap my head around where the ideologies from the progressive movement have taken this country and all the centers of control. Like you said, education, you know, our main institutions, the military, for crying out loud. We're in a world of hurt. We're a world of hurt.
On the line with us is Dr. Randy Tobler, host of the Randy Tobler Show here on News Talk STL Saturday mornings from 6 to 9. Dr. Tobler, after the big breaking news today that Donald Trump's Florida Mar-a-Lago documents case will be postponed indefinitely, many are believing that this gives credence to the belief that Donald Trump walks around with a four-leaf clover, a rabbit's foot, and a horseshoe in his pocket. Your thoughts, sir?
Well, that would be in addition to his Head and Shoulders shampoo and his satin jammies, according to Stormy. That's just part of what he has in his top 10, apparently. I don't know. But I, for one, think that this colossal strategic error on the part of the Justice Department under the auspices of Joe Biden is just, it's theater that is just comedic, right? I mean, you can't make this stuff up. And, you know, what's going to happen in New York City, I don't know. But it seems around every bend, there is just more absurd demonstration of how of just how thoughtless and how reckless they were when they embarked on these multiple prosecutions.
And Doc, isn't it really pointing out that for as hard as the folks are who are trying to keep Trump from being back at 1600 Pennsylvania, everything seems to be backfiring on them, and it seems like they're almost helping him get reelected at this point, aren't they, Doc? Because they protested too much, didn't they?
Yeah, you know, and you know what's interesting is it's you know that there's desperation when you can't really argue your case on the policy content, right? So then you have to start doing the ad hominem attacks. And I mean, this is like the ultimate ad hominem when you not only call a guy of poor character or this or that, you know, but you know you prosecute him under the, you know, with the strong arm of the federal government. It's a scary thing, and I hope that everyday Americans who maybe are on the fence about Donald Trump will at least realize that for all of his faults and sometimes his bawdy behavior, and yeah, he over embellishes most things he talks about, at least we can we all admit that this has been a series of unfair prosecutions that absolutely represent a double standard of justice. And if we ever get to where, you know, that becomes the norm for this country, we are truly then a banana republic. I just hope we don't go there. I just don't want to go there. And I think most Americans realize that we've got to turn it around, and not just in the Oval Office, but congressionally, too. It's a critical election all up and down the slate.
Dr. Tobler, we don't hear much about COVID anymore. It really doesn't affect any of us personally anymore. I'm sure there's still cases out there, because I know I learned last weekend that my 14-year-old nephew came down with COVID, later his 12-year-old sister, and now his parents also have contracted COVID. The children have slight symptoms, but it's hitting the parents a little harder. Where are we at with COVID nationally when it comes to deaths and illnesses?
Well, thankfully, I think we're where we are with a mild flu or a severe cold, and it's going to, at this point, it's mutated to the point where, you know, to this day and always, we will see viruses that 99% of us fight off, and, you know, more or less, we miss fewer or more days. We're maybe, you know, bed bound with a blanket over our, you know, trying to keep the chills away for a day. But there's going to be a virus that in vulnerable folks who have underlying problems, especially respiratory problems, and, you know, if they have autoimmune diseases where they're maybe already on immune suppression. So there's a swath of people that, whether it's the tamed down, mutated version of COVID, or whether it's, you know, the common cold, frankly, those can turn into infections that involve bacteria and highly destructive and threatening, you know, illnesses. I just got to tell you, I think at this point it's becoming sort of a meh for most of us. And I don't know, it seems to me like Pfizer's got an awful lot of booster doses on hand. I don't know, maybe they can sell them to the Chinese. Not sure.
Doc, have you been surprised at the lack of scientific curiosity as to the origins of COVID? In fact, there was an AP story that caught my attention that was published about, I don't know, 2 weeks ago or so. Toxic: how the search for the origins of COVID-19 turned politically poisonous. I mean, there shouldn't have been anything. There should have been a quest for truth here, right? I mean, we had one of the world's worst pandemics, the worst pandemic in over 100 years. The government intrusion on our civil liberties here in this country and across the world were historic and never before seen. Hopefully will never be seen before again. Lots of questions about this lab in Wuhan and who was funding it and why and how and what they were doing. And here we are, Doc, like 4 years later, and it's Sergeant Schultz time every day. We know nothing. I mean, are you amazed at the lack of scientific interest here?
I'm frankly embarrassed by the mega cover-up that's gone on in terms of the origins of not only the research itself, but, you know, the relationships between the sponsors of the work, the intermediaries that, you know, funded the work, and their connection with the higher ups, the likes of which are Fauci and others. Am I surprised? No. Am I disappointed? Yes. Am I saddened? Extremely. But, you know, the other thing we haven't heard, and I'm surprised that we really didn't think this through at the beginning, why wasn't there a suspension of all affiliate research in any country establishing, you know, absolute boundaries, guidelines, oversight on the ground by Americans, perhaps from the military establishment, to ensure that the research that's going on was, in fact, in the interest of, you know, the humankind at large, because I think there's some value in that. But, man, the way this was just recklessly gone on after Obama had tried to stop it and then Fauci unilaterally started again, that's where the interesting story is. There's a scientific story there. There were a few brave FDA scientists who resigned because of the rapid, you know, research, especially on the youth vaccine when they approved it for that use. That was a joke. But, man, there just wasn't enough courage being exhibited by scientists who should know better. And hopefully the next round, because it's not if, there will be another threatening virus. I don't think it's the bird flu, but you never know. Hopefully we'll learn from this, and there'll be wiser heads and more honest heads that'll prevail. We can only hope.
Speaking with Dr. Randy Tober, host of the Randy Tober Show. Doc, before we close up, I want to get your thoughts on Israel taking over a border crossing in Rafah. Is this the beginning of the invasion, and Hamas accepting a ceasefire that they modified? Your thoughts on those two things?
Yeah, right. That's that reminds me of one of my kids one day that said that mom said that it was okay to take the car and stay out to 2 a.m. on a Saturday night. When I checked with mom, that wasn't the case. Mm-hmm. And so I think that it cements in my mind that we're going to have to, if we're going to err on the side of some crossfire, some collateral damage that occurs with these events, when you need to absolutely eradicate evil. I think Hamas just said it. I mean, they misportrayed what was being negotiated. They tried to make some kind of, messaging magic out of it. And I think that only tells that, this is a despicable, demonic group of people. And look at what they've done. And they're radicalizing by proxy people in American campuses, for crying out loud. And they have to be eradicated. Yeah, there's going to be some collateral damage. But that's just, that's what happens in war. This is a worthy war. And I hope that Israel finishes it. Even his war cabinet minister, who he's politically opposed to, said Netanyahu is doing the right thing by going into Rafah. So that says something.
Is it too early to discuss guests for this coming Saturday show?
Oh, there's an interesting thing. My producer Jerome is quite. We've had some great conversations about the plight of young men and how you can't get a look these days if you're a white guy and a white cisgendered male. Forget about it. And a lot of things. And so he's emerged as a nice voice on the radio. I'm going to be out of town, so guess what? Jerome's hosting.
Oh wow! Okay.
Oh wow! Yeah.
Well, I will.
Fun. And Jerome's going to be playing some of the best interviews that I've had. That'll take about 3 minutes. And but he'll be hosting. So I'm looking forward to that. He's a model American citizen. And I don't know if he was a Boy Scout or not, but I give him an honorary Eagle degree. He's that kind of guy. And I think folks will enjoy the show.
Well, you heard it here on the Tim Jones and Chris Arp Show. Producer Jerome will be guest hosting the Randy Tober Show this Saturday from 6 to 9. Dr. Tober, you have safe travels, my friend. Thank you as always. And we'll speak to you again next Tuesday.
I look forward to it. See you then.
Thank you. 544.
For podcast articles and more, find us on newstalkstl.com.
Still think that you are in line to be Trump's vice president?
Well, it's up to Donald Trump. He's the only person who will decide this.
Yeah,
he's the only person who will decide. And I spoke. Yes, I do speak to him.
May I ask what he said to you about being vice president?
No, I never tell anybody my personal conversations.
Did the dog story come up in a conversation?
I talk to President Trump all the time
about the dog,
about a lot of things. And right now, I tell you what, he is being persecuted in a political hunt, witch hunt in this court case. So I'm proud of him about how tough he is and how well he is doing.
Did you bring up?
Yes. Enough, Stuart.
With Trump. Did you
this
bring
interview
up the dog
is
with
ridiculous
Trump?
What you were doing right now. So you need to stop. It is.
Okay.
It is.
We'll
Let's talk about some real topics that Americans care about.
I'm afraid we're out of time.
Oh, well, of course we are.
5:50 on the Tim Jones and Chris Arp show. And, you know, I had the pleasure of meeting Governor Noem at Lincoln Day celebration back in February. And, you know, the buzz around the crowd was that she was a top Donald Trump potential vice presidential running mate. She had a very bright future. She had a very bright story. And, you know, we're making light of the dog and the goat and the story about, Kim Jong-il, whatever the hell his name is. I can't ever get it right. But looking at it just through humanity's eyes, it's kind of sad to see Tim, her political career just implode like this.
Yeah, I mean, if you don't want to talk about things, don't write a book about them.
That's just pretty good common sense advice there, isn't it?
I would think so. Chris, we're joined by a good friend of ours just walked into Studio Schroer here, a guy who does love animals and dogs and hasn't written anything nasty about them in books. Representative Ben Keithley. Chris, he's got some breaking news about a huge bill that the legislature passed a few weeks ago that the governor just signed, and another bill of Ben's just went to the governor's desk. So, hi, Representative. How you doing?
I'm doing great. It's a great day for conservatives in Missouri.
Tell Chris and I what just happened.
Well, we just got the announcement that Governor Parson has signed SB 727, Andrew Koenig's expansion of the ESA program. So we get some more options for Missouri parents and students and school choice in Missouri.
Fantastic. That's amazing. Chris, as you know, this was a heavy lift. Chris, they had only the bare number of votes needed in the House. It was a heavy lift in both chambers. Representative Keithley is a huge advocate for school choice and parental involvement in education. And this is going to be a national story, Chris, in putting Missouri on the map of a state that expanded school choice this year.
Well, anything that can give parents and children more opportunities for a better education, I'm for. I'm sure anyone that is a decent human being is for that. And I'm glad to see universal school choice reform education getting one step closer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, this is an important, that's a great point by Chris, isn't it?
Right. Yeah. And it's there's still so much work we can do on it. But this is probably the most single significant largest step that Missouri has taken towards school choice, the expansion of the program. We launched the initial ESA, which was essentially kind of a pilot program to just kind of test out these scholarship awards. But now we're taking it statewide. We've upped the income threshold. So many, many more Missourians qualified to take advantage of it for things like for private school expenses, for homeschooling and other types of expenses. And it's really important to stand behind parents and students making those choices.
And you're from Chesterfield. You're from the St. Louis region. You're right in the heart of News Talk STL Nation. What is your hopes for the impact this has on all school options in our region? This ultimately is beneficial for public schools too, isn't it?
I think so. And I think that it's one of those things, a rising tide lifts all the boats. And I think really what we need is when we have those choices, I think school districts will listen more to parents, and that's a good thing for students. I think when students have a right to go wherever they want to go and have the ability to go wherever they go, I think they're going to seek out the best opportunities for them individually. And that's going to put public schools in a position to be able to benefit the students that are there and put other schools in a position to be able to accept more students. Where, you know, school choice has always existed for those at the top of the income scale. Now there's options for people at every level of the income scale, and I think that's really a great thing Missouri has done.
Representative Keith,
big news out of Jeff City.
It is. Yeah. Representative Keith, we've got about 2 minutes left. Give the audience a general synopsis or overview of what the ESA program is.
Well, the ESA, it's a scholarship program that allows a tax credit for parents. It's a voluntary tax credit. People donate into the program. Now we can appropriate money into that program as well, but you can get reimbursed for your expenses, for private school tuition, for homeschooling expenses, for various things like that, materials. It really goes pretty far on what can be reimbursed. But that allows families who aren't in position to be able to, you know, to absorb the cost of a private school tuition or other educational opportunities. Now that tax credit makes it a lot more obtainable to many families.
Wonderful. Chris, it basically puts money back in the parents' pockets if they want to if they want to look at options beyond public schools.
And let me ask is how much money is allocated for these tax credits?
Well, this expands the amount. We're talking about tens of millions of dollars. Mm-hmm. We'll still need to appropriate next year, and there's a lot of budget crunches coming up in Missouri. This is going to be it's going to be money, but I think this is money well spent on Missouri's future. You know, we increase money going to public school programs and the foundation for me and that, all these other things we do. The most important thing I think we should be doing, we're finally doing, and providing choice to these students.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Excellent. Excellent. Ben, you also passed a bill today as well, real quickly.
We passed a great bill for taxpayers to protect them from taxes on streaming services. You have municipalities that have been trying to go back and even get back taxes from people on their streaming services. That is not going to be able to happen now with what the Senate just truly agreed and sent into the governor my bill. To eliminate those streaming service taxes from Missouri.
Wonderful. Wonderful. Chris, producer Joey V will be happy about it. He can watch more movies.
Exactly. Exactly. Representative Keithley, thank you so much for all of your hard work that you're doing for the people. Congratulations on getting your bill signed and congratulations on getting your bill passed. We look forward to reporting on much more of your great work in the future, sir. Thank you so much.
More time in session. Let's do more.
Thank you, Ben.
Exactly.
Thank you, guys.
Exactly. Great show today, Tim. You will be in the swamp again tomorrow.
One more day.
Excellent. We, of course, will have a great show for you tomorrow. But coming up on Larry Connors USA, Larry's going to talk about Israel's weapons that are being held back by Joe Biden. He's going to discuss Shark Tank Kevin Leary's unloads on forgiving student debt. And D.C. Mayor Bowser, is complaining about the crime reporting. That's on Larry Connors USA. Coming up next from 6 to 8, you have been listening to the Tim Jones and Chris Arp Show on 101.9/94.1 News Talk STL, number one for live and local conservative talk. Have a great evening and drive safe.
For podcasts, articles, and more, find us on newstalkstl.com.